Still a vibe.
In a refreshed podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter, and welcome to another episode of Tinfoil is Reading. My focus is going to be truly on celebrating, educating, and uplifting my culture. This year, I plan on expanding woke history because when you don't know your history, you don't know where you came from and how much farther you can go. And in an effort to erase our history or make our history more whitewashed and acceptable to the majority class, we all lose something of ourselves. Assimilation is not the key to survival anymore. I'll also be talking and reading great titles because, again, I plan on processing and expanding my own fund of knowledge and hopefully be able to share that with the listening audience, as well as general pop culture commentary. This promises to be an exciting year, an exciting season, and I hope you will join me. And as always, I appreciate you guys listening. It's a vibe. First, I would like to apologize for getting this episode to you too late. I spent a lot of time in planning the upcoming episodes for the entire month of March. This is Women's History Month, so a lot of what I'm going to be or plan to talk about has come full circle in highlighting first. And I will probably do not just only first women, but in particular, first Black women and women of color, as well as talking about just women history in general. A lot of us can bond over trauma. And unfortunately, these first people that I want to highlight, Tarana Burke of the Me Too movement, and then Dixon, she was one of the leading AR executives in hip hop. And she basically survived Russell Simmons as well as L.A. Reid. And it could have been tragic if she had not decided to make a comeback. So I find her story interesting as well as an expansion of my knowledge of Ida B. Wells, and also the first Black woman to be admitted into the Daughters of the Revolution. It didn't happen until like 77, y'all. I'll also be still, as I talked about or mentioned up top, about other pop culture commentary. I guess I could interweave that in with woke history and first, unless there's some other standouts. But though that is going to be at least for the next three episodes this month. And I like that last one about as far as Baddies Showcase. That's what I want to highlight. In spite of all of the trauma from the women, the aforementioned women, I plan on just highlighting, in spite of those things and challenges, what they're doing and where they are now. So this next upcoming month is promising and looking like it's going to be pretty dope. And I'm hopeful that it will be worth the wait.
To my homegirl, Aquita J. Elmore, Najee. Lift every chair and swing Till all them white folks scream, thought y'all could run up on our black king.
Are you in love with her? Governor, I'm dying to vote for you. I mean that sincerely. I want to give all my energy and all my heart behind your campaign. But I was upset when you made the reference that you didn't think America had racism. And my question is, I was disappointed, number one, obviously, but I want to give you a chance. Did you say that because you felt like you needed to say that to the audience? Because I can say, I'm dying to vote for you, and that hurt me. So I would love you to clarify that, please.
So first of all, I never said that there was not racism in America. There absolutely is racism in America. I said that America was not a racist country. And the whole point of that is, and Charles, you'll appreciate this. When I grew up, the only Indian family in a small rural southern town, we weren't white enough to be white. We weren't black enough to be black. They didn't know who we were, what we were, or why we were there. If my mom had told me that we lived in a racist country, I would have grown up never thinking I could be governor, never thinking I could be ambassador, never thinking I could run for president. But my mom always said, your job is not to show them how you're different. Your job is to show them how you're similar. And it's amazing how that lesson on the playground played throughout my life, whether it was the corporate world, as governor, as ambassador, that once I was ever presented with a challenge, if I first talked about the things we had in common, people would let their guard down, and then we could go towards a solution.
But, Governor, I think most people heard you say...
Our job should be...
Governor, I think most people heard you say...
Our job should be that we stop that racism.
America has never been a racist country. That's the problem. That we heard you say...
That's not what I said.
Okay.
That's what we heard. No, so I never said... I said that America is not a racist country. The premise of America was never to be a racist country, and that our number one goal should be to make today better than yesterday. We need to stomp out racism wherever it exists. But if you go and tell kids that they live in a racist country, then you're automatically telling brown and black kids that they'll never be good enough. I don't want our kids to think that. I want them to know that, yes, there is racism. Yes, it is wrong wherever we see it. But that doesn't mean that the country is against you. That means that we need you even more than ever so we can stomp it out wherever we see it.
Okay, I really don't want to split hairs, but the exact quote that you said was, America has never been a racist country. I think that's the problem that people objected to. We're not disputing that what you're saying about America is not a racist country. Some people would argue with that. But we're saying the comment you made that particular day was that America has never been a racist country. And I think that's what caught people off surprise, caught people off.
So I don't know what I need to address first. And the shocking nature of this exchange was appalling for several reasons. First, it should not really shock me that Charles Barkley is a staunch Republican, because as a former NBA player, even though he never actually went or made it or got a ring to the finals, but I digress. He's loaded and he doesn't want the government in his bag. And that's probably the primary reason why he is a Republican. Good for you, Charles Barkley, whatever, punk ass. And it also, this clip is also a reason why he needs to stick to commentary on just sports and not more serious topic, because in this exchange, he looks like an idiot. And then I look at Nimrata. I know exactly why Chomp called her that and made fun of her, but I'm calling her Nimrod because not just it's a kind of a slur directly to her Indian, you know, initial name. Her name is like Nimrata, Nikki, 12 letter last name originally. And Haley is her married, white man married name. She literally looked at Gail in her face and lied. She's the quintessential politician Republican. She was like, I actually said this, but that's not what I said. That to me blows my mind. We got you on tape saying this, but then she gonna look straight and say it with a straight face. I didn't say that. Yes, you did, bitch! Because that's what we heard and that's what you said. But Gail handled it, she handled R. Kelly and his pedophile ass. You know, what she kept saying, Robert, I can almost hear her saying, Nikki, Nimrata. But she cracks me up. She was like, I don't think the premise of this country was ever racist. The founding fathers were the racists. Just like the royalty and the monarchy in England were the top tier feudalism, racism, whatever you want to call it. It's all racist. The whole premise is a God-given people. You can look at these, all we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, they basically, that's a, and they didn't say all men, because it was all rich white men landowners. That's who they meant. But we know what the inference of that is. Women, you were chattel. You didn't get the right to vote till the 20th goddamn century. Girl, bye. And also, African Americans, people of color, it was codified that slaves counted only as a 3/5 of a free individual. So you mean to tell me that the premises of this country is not basically based in racism? And racism, we had it right. And you were wrong and incorrect and Nimrodly misled. I'm so tired of these wannabe allies until you basically catch them in a lie. That's the premise of ally. Y'all, we don't know that you're not until we actually catch you in your lie. They considered, Nikki Haley was considered the moderate. And there was no way she could have done and said or been anything but the Indian American woman that she was. And as more she leaned into it, she changed her. You look at her, y'all. She basically changed her foundation and made it more skin tone appropriate. She basically started answering to racism and what she stood for, and she's not right to life and all these things. But there was no way she, even if she was in the Republican Party, they have spoken. And she has actually, as of this morning, March 6th, 7th, actually, she has stepped down. And she even got Mitch McConnell endorsing her. She didn't have the back of anybody in the party. They would rather endorse and elect, try to reelect a criminal. How you have 100 charges and he's getting ready, if they do it correctly in Georgia, they get ready to RICO his ass. How are you going to basically fix your mouth to support a criminal? Do you hate women that much that you would rather support a criminal than a female, an Indian female, a woman of color? And what's the deal with DeSantis? He is proven over and over again and willing to propagate racist agenda. Because with the abolition of DEI programs and everybody got fired in the University of Florida State system,
that had anything to do with DEI. He's willing to be stupid, but he didn't even get it. It's because he's DeSantis. Is he Italian? Too much Italian, too much other, too close to what y'all consider not pure enough? Is that what you're really telling me? Y'all would rather play dumb and one, be in a party that has been shifty and hasn't been right since the Civil War. Let's just start there. This is not the grand old party of Lincoln. This is the party of power mongers, racists, and ultimate capitalists that want to make this country lily white and only for the rich, and they're willing to basically dumb down everybody to get their goal because all they are interested in is power. They don't want to help the common good. They don't want to create and uphold democracy. They're just power hungry and money hungry, and they're just ultimately greedy. But you mean to tell me that y'all would support at all costs a white male criminal before you would actually support a woman and a woman of color? Nikki Haley basically got a makeup artist or a stylist that could do her right, but it wouldn't matter. Because the party doesn't care. Now this is an ultimate slap in the face. They want this. And why are you so gung-ho? Charles Barkley, any person of color or other, why are you so gung-ho for a party when it is obvious they're not out for the common good? They don't uphold the true Republican or Republic ideal. And it's all about power, prestige, richness, and maintaining that at all costs. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. And definitely don't care about Billie Jean. I'm just saying. That is the wokeness of it. Racism is the premises of this country. We left England under the guise of not just religious freedom, but also a class of people that at that time, as long as they basically, you don't do anything to basically fuck up their bag, they were cool. You could be here. But you had to be white and you had to be male. That is the premise of what this country is. That is the premise of racism. And when you don't realize and know that history, that's how you can look foolish on the Gayle King, Charles Barkley hour. Even though Charles does a really good job at it, you can even look more stupid when you don't know your history as such. And you go on national TV and talk out the side of your neck. Because you still don't get elected because you will not be, you are not white enough and you are other and you a woman. That is the trickery of it all. And you're willing to lie, sit up in our face, play in our face and basically say, that's what I said, but I didn't say that. What? Girl? Oh, God, Nikki. That's why that's why you are a Nimrod, which is a dumbass. That is why we gonna have to call you that. Nimrod dumbass Haley. There you go.
Bad and bougie. Something skit. I am a fan of mumble rap. I don't care what you say. That's Bad and Bougie, the instrumental. Migos featuring Lil Uzi Vert. And this is me in my baddies, salute to baddies section. So in this section, I wanted to reiterate something that Nimrod said before she dropped out of the race. I'm still tripping out about not only Charles Barkley's wanting to vote for her, but also the Republican Party in my state in the primaries by about 88%, almost 90, have voted in the primaries to basically say it's okay for a criminal to represent their party. Like, they don't care.
And she still went on record. She still literally made it known that Shannon Sharp, outside of interviewing Cat Williams and Charles Barkley, really need to stay with commentary on sports. Because in 17, this is a history lesson right here, y'all. Literally in 1790, there were 797,624 slaves in and counted in the United States. But only three-fifths of a slave counted to one free human, a free white individual. And that was a dude. She literally fixed her mouth to say, the founding and the premise of this country is not racist. Why does, when we bring that up, people think it's such a bad thing? Why do people like me that look like me and did and actually look like her know that we can know that we can put you on blast for that and you still got to act right? Just because we don't mention it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that, and if we don't mention it, it's not going to predicate us from fighting racism. But you want us not to mention it and therefore not fight against it and not point it out. That's when you fire everybody in your diversity and equity and inclusion departments in a state school. That's what you are willing to do. When people are othered and look like you, just because you dismiss and don't want to recognize it doesn't mean that that thing doesn't exist. And this really conservative, backwards Nazi swing is not going to change anything. You bitch, you still owe me some money, like Rihanna said. You still going to come up the cash. You still going to give me my just dessert. And it's not going to keep me from not running for president or not. And the thing that kills me about Nimrod is she really thinks that she... her establishment, the ultimate in racist, were going to allow her to be president. We had somebody that was clearly overqualified for the position. We had homegirl, the Democrat, who, brilliant. She sat with her husband for 8 years, Rhodes Scholar, just ambassador, all around gangster. Nobody voted for her just because female. And the only reason why Kamala has a chance, not only is she black, they're not going to switch up on that because she's a female. You mean to tell me that in the whole history of the Women Month, you think that your party would look past your otherness and vote you in when they are the racist? Girl, bye. Just because you don't say it, you don't recognize, doesn't mean it exists. And I think DeSantis, he bend over backwards, say every lie and untruth, and he's still too other. He's still too not pure white for them. He got the wrong last name for them to actually vote him in. And that's why you drop out and they still will endorse a criminal. That is what the reality of your party is. And then by knowing my history, went all the way back to the revolutionary times. So the baddie that I'm actually going to talk about in this portion of the episode is Karen Batchelor. Again, this goes all the way back to racism. It's just like, these MFers could not even understand. We had a California chapter of the American Daughters of the Revolution think that her research was somehow flawed. That, of course, somebody that's African American could not have been a daughter, could not be a daughter of the revolution. Although Benjamin Bannister actually was architect of DC. We got all these whole colored troops that fought in the Revolutionary War. Her connection actually was to a white dude. What is his name? William Wood. But we got whole groups of people like Henry Louis Gates, who great ancestor fought in the colored troops, in the colored regiment for the American Revolution. We had advisors of George Washington, cooked in that dude's kitchen. And you mean to tell me she didn't qualify to be in that jackassery of a racist historical society on par, I'm thinking, of the KKK until 77? Girl, bye. I'm tired of y'all. I'm just so tired of people wanting to whitewash us out of history. Like we weren't here years before even the Mayflower landed. Really? We got here a whole freaking year before the Mayflower and Wrong Turn Tom landed at Plymouth Rock. Really? Girl, I can't. I just... It astounds me that there are people willing to think that slavery was good for us, we did not contribute anything, and that we didn't contribute anything to the foundation and the continuation of this country and all, in essence, democracy, just because of how we look. And nobody contributed to this. Even the motherfuckers in the DAR. That was the first. She was the first black known, they say known, quote unquote. And it took until 1977. Wait a minute. That's 200. Girl, we had to wait 200 years to go to be admitted into a patriotic historical club based on because we were white. We helped build the country, fought in it, the most loyal versus Benedict freaking Arnold. But we are not good enough to be in your organization. You can kick rocks. But when you do get us, we are loyal, we are calm, and we are beautiful. And you waiting 200 years to admit us was lost time, and that's on you. And that's it for this episode of Ten Froers Reading. You know, I talked cash-ish all last year. I hope the listening audience will continue to enjoy my opinion and not so subtle shade. I mean, I'm 2,000 listeners per episode in, so go run tell that, haters. I may take it on the road if I get hint, hint sponsorship. Navigate to DalesAngelsInc.blog for swag and extended podcast notes. Don't forget to hit like or leave a 5-star review. It gets me on top of the algorithms and it may just get you on my show. 2023's motto is boss up and get the bag. And as always, tell a friend and thank you for listening.